Welcome to the Kids with Big Emotions podcast. I am your host, Andy Clark. Today we're talking in episode 120 about when simple tasks turn into big struggles. If you're like me, you've probably asked yourself, why won't they just do it? Whether it's brushing their teeth, following through on a chore, or using like one of the tools or strategies that you've taught them to help them in something that they struggle with. And when they don't follow through, oh my gosh, it can feel like defiance, laziness, if they're not having an outburst, but they just won't do it, or avoidance. What if it's actually none of these? What if it's not defiance? What if it's not laziness? What if it's not avoidance? In this episode today, we will be exploring this critical piece that most of us never learned. I know I didn't growing up. And that is that emotional growth happens like climbing a ladder. And you can't expect your child to jump from the bottom rung to the top one. But quite often, we expect society-wise that when, that a kid should just be able to know what to do, or a kid should just be able to act. And if they can't, the parent or the adult around them should tell them to behave, and they should know how to do that. Right? This episode is actually going to help you zoom out and start noticing why approaches like this, or certain approaches that we've been taught, haven't been working. Not because you're doing it wrong at all, but because your child may not be ready for that next step. They may not be ready to be at the top of the ladder. If you've ever felt like you're doing all the right things, but nothing is changing, then this might be why. You're teaching from that top step when your child is still trying to get their footing on the first one. So this episode today is part of my CARES model. It's that five step that really is that base foundation in helping parents support their child's emotional development with that clarity, with compassion. So you get into the driver's seat and you start understanding more of what's happening with your child. And then you're able to actually help them calm more of those emotions. We've already covered the first three steps. We've covered the C of change the lens, the A of animal awareness, and the R with regulate through safety. Those I will be linking in the show notes for you to be able to go back to if you haven't gone through those yet. Today, we're working on the E, which is evaluate the ladder. Once you start seeing this ladder clearly, everything else makes more sense, and progress, like real progress, which finally feels possible in you being able to help your child. So let's start in this episode today. So define, like, as a parent, we often expect that our kids apply logic. They use a strategy that we taught them, or follow through on something that they've done before, like starting their homework, brushing their teeth, or cleaning up. But that emotional readiness, it doesn't work that way. When your child can, like, what they can do one day, they may completely fall apart the next day, especially if their nervous system is taxed. So maybe they didn't sleep well. Maybe their day was filled with tiny stressors, or the Coke bottle that I've spoke of in the past episodes before, where your nervous system is like a muscle. So your stress nerve is like a muscle. And the more that you work that muscle, the stronger it gets, the quicker it is to react. And so it starts overpowering your resting nerve, your vagus nerve. And you keep switching into that stress nerve more and more frequently. And the more frequent that you are, if we think of this Coke bottle, the more the stressors shake. And for some of our sensitive kids, that could be the way their clothes feel itchy, or it's too loud, or they're hearing or taking in too much. They're maybe struggling with the way that the teacher wants them to lay out the information. They may be having all of these different struggles that all throughout the day, that Coke bottle keeps shaking. And then they don't have the ability in that nervous system to be able to handle the stressors that we're asking of them. So brushing their teeth might be fine one day, and another day, like, ooh, can't handle that, right? So this is where the learning ladder matters. Okay, say that five times fast. This is where the learning ladder matters. We tend to assume that once a child can do something, they should always be able to do it. But stress, fear, perfectionism, transitions and changes of new activities, new things, and just emotional overwhelm, just the social aspect of learning all the things they need to with their friends and with everything that's going on in their day-to-day life, it knocks them down from that ladder. Every time that Coke bottle shakes, right? It starts to decrease their ability to be able to big picture think, to problem solve, to be handled normal everyday things. So they may appear fine though on the outside. Think of that Coke bottle. It's still shaking. It's starting to fizz more on the inside, right? And they'll look calm like a dolphin, but that Coke bottle hasn't exploded yet, right? They're looking like they're calm, but inside their system is stuck in this shark, in this clownfish, in that turtle mode because the Coke bottle has been fizzing so much inside. And if we expect performance from the top of the ladder while they're clinging to the bottle rung, while that Coke bottle is shaking and fizzing like crazy, right? We end up pushing them further into dysregulation. We end up shaking that Coke bottle even more. So let's break things down with a real example. Let's say your child normally does their homework just fine. One day they sit down, they put out their materials and get it done. And then the next day they stare at the paper, they start crying, they rip it up or melt down saying, I don't know how, or I'm just going to mess it up anyways. From the outside, we're like, what the heck? Like they just did this yesterday. But if we pause and look at the ladder, it really does start to make sense. So let's kind of look at what this ladder might look like for this child. So that top rung of the ladder is when they're actually regulated. It's when they're in dolphin. They're calm, they're open, they're present. They can tolerate imperfections. They can approach homework with flexibility. And it doesn't have to be perfect. I can try. Now, I do want to put a caveat here because I have another example for a child that even when they are in that top rung, still has the perfectionism and the inflexibility. So if you have a child like that, don't discount yourself from this. Just know that if there's other tasks that don't have the perfectionism in there, probably should use a different example. But let's just even say brushing their teeth or getting their bag ready for school or things like that, that they've done day after day. That's not a perfectionism thing, that this is the same. So when they're able to do that, the brushing of their teeth, it's when they're regulated, when they're in dolphin, when their Coke bottle hasn't been shaking, like it's not fizzy, right? They can stay connected to the task and to you. Then we go down a rung, okay? We're going to go down, and that's where, you know, their nervous system is starting to be activated. There's some fizz in their Coke bottle. They're, you know, starting to activate the shark or the clownfish. You know, they're starting to feel a little threatened, or they're starting to feel a little anxiety, right? The shark might look like it starts snapping or yelling or throwing the pencil after one small mistake. That's where it gets to eventually. And that means they've gone lower down in the ladder. They might just first be like, oh, this is going to be so hard, I can't do this, in their head, but eventually it might start getting into more the physical or like panic attack. Whereas the clownfish as well, overwhelmed, clingy, they might just start asking questions and getting worried, but it might start getting to where it just like is like, can you help me? I don't know how to do this. Or what if I get it wrong? No. So these are driven by sometimes perfectionism, fear of failure, or a nervous system that just doesn't feel unsafe. It could solely be because their nervous system has had too many shakes with that Coke bottle, and now they can't handle the task. Okay. Then we get into that bottom rung where they totally shut down, right? The overwhelm becomes too much. Their system just completely retreats. And they may stare blankly at the page. They may put their head down. They may go silent and say, I don't care. It might look passive, but it's actually not laziness. This is a sign that their stress system has pretty much collapsed under pressure. And that's the thing we don't realize too, is that shutdown stage actually comes after the clownfish and the shark stage. So, and that means that they're actually further in dysregulation, whereas sometimes we misread that and think, okay, my child is calm now, right? So the important thing is with all of this is the task didn't change. Your child's intelligence didn't change. It's the state of their nervous system that changed, where they were on the rung of that ladder. What are their capabilities from their nervous system regulation, from their other system that we're going to talk in a second, which is their executive functioning system, the one that actually manages what they're able to do, their planning, organization, their ability to actually follow through on a task, their perfectionism, black and white thinking, inflexible thinking, impulsivity, all of these things. Where are they on that ladder of being able to actually cognitively do that, physically do that? And where is their nervous system allowing them to be, right? So the nervous system, though, is the big, big piece in why one day they might be able to complete their homework with ease, and the next day they fall apart over a single question, okay? It's not defiance. It's actually dysregulation. It's that their nervous system is screaming for help. Okay? And when we see these behaviors through the ladder, we start looking at where are they on the ladder? We say, oh, behavior's kicking in. We just went too high on this ladder. Then we stop taking it personally and we start offering the right solutions. Once you learn the right solutions for, okay, what stage of the ladder are they at? What solutions do I need to give to this child right now? The thing is that society often expects kids to be at the same rung, academically, emotionally, behaviorally. But let's start looking at adults. Like, I don't know adults who are at the same level. Like, I have friends that dive into so many subjects in the depth that I love to dive into, and some that have no interest in the same subject. They may dive into something of another subject. And there's people that don't like to deep dive at all. There's people that communicate differently. There's people that, you know, that learn differently in the same job, right? In the same job, you're going to find people with different interests, different emotional capabilities, communication capabilities. Some people can handle a lot of stress and some people can't, right? But we expect that our kids can. So grownups have an off day. Grownups can shut down. Grownups can get angry. Grownups can yell. Grownups can struggle to learn things that their friends are learning. But for some reason, we expect that our kids shouldn't experience the same things that we're experiencing as adults. Some days as adults, we can't make a decision or hold a conversation. There are times where it's not solely nervous system dysregulation. They might be melting down, but you might find that it's all of the time that they struggle with planning, organizing, following through, starting a task. They may struggle with, you know, black and white thinking, impulsivity. These things might always be happening when you're always doing your homework or when you're always asking them to brush your teeth. When you find those things, their nervous system is definitely still taxed. So there is that one piece still. The nervous system is still definitely tasked, but there could also be something else that I want to show you that can also be affecting where they are in the learning ladder. So let's go through if your child is asked to write a paragraph. They know how to write. They even have ideas, but they sit there. They pick up the pencil, put it down. They erase the title. Eventually they might say, I don't know what to write, or it's not going to be good enough, or I'll do it later. And this might be a common theme you see all of the time when you're doing the homework. And we get confused sometimes too, if our child isn't dysregulated when they're doing it, they're just saying that they're stuck or they don't know how. Sometimes they do get to the point where they are dysregulated. That's when we start looking at the learning ladder as well from a different lens. And this is where this is actually more of a higher level step that I start teaching breaking down the different stressors that could be happening for your child. And one of those stressors is executive functioning. So the bottom rung of that learning ladder would be that they can't even see what the task is. They say they don't know what to do, even though you've told them what to do, or the teachers told them what to do, or the steps are clearly in front of them. That is, can very much be an executive functioning struggle where they have not yet learned how to see the steps. They might struggle with planning at the steps or organizing the steps or perceiving what's being asked. These are all different executive functioning skills. And then the next rung is that once they understand the task, they can't initiate it. So that's the getting started. And they might sit there waiting, hoping for someone else to start for them. They don't know how to break it into smaller steps. They might be feeling really overwhelmed by what's being asked of them, even though you as the parent know, well, they can do this. This should be easy for them. The next rung is working through these struggles, which we can teach you how to help them with getting a task started, how to help them when they're overwhelmed, how to help them when they're struggling with the steps. But this is high level, right? This is very, very high level. We first need to help with that Coke bottle for them to be able to handle more stressors before we can even dive into helping with this executive functioning piece. So that's why this is like the very last step, but I do want you to start seeing this from the ladder point of view. So as we're teaching this learning ladder, it's really important for you to understand that this is their nervous system getting dysregulated. This is their nervous system melting down when they are having these outbursts, but it could be because of the way that their brain is working. If their brain is struggling with some of these tasks, this kid might be very academically ahead. I mean, this was my kid, right? Still, he's academically ahead in math, but still struggles to write the answers down on paper the way the teacher asks. He may be able to get verbally, tell you the answers, but being able to break it down in the steps the way that the teacher is asking him to do, that results in meltdowns because his brain can't do it. So sometimes when these meltdowns are happening with this nervous system, it could be what is happening in the moment. And it could be that their Coke bottle's been shaking all day. I'm going to tell you though, that if this child is struggling with that part of their brain, it is frustrating as heck when academically you know the answer, but you can't give it to the teacher in the way that they want, or academically you know the information, but you can't answer so many questions or the way the questions are laid out on a test. You might be so great at math, but not be able to answer problems. You may be so great at math, but not be able to answer multiple choice, right? Or in other subjects, multiple choice might trip you up. And these things stress you out in the moment for sure. But if you are struggling with those in the moment, that means that other things throughout your day would have also been shaking your Coke bottle that people are not aware of. And so we need to understand all of these levels of this learning ladder and how to support this child. That's why this is like the fourth step, because the steps before are starting to understand their nervous system. And now we're starting to understand why their nervous system is getting taxed. Okay. So understanding that learning ladder is really understanding why they're getting taxed. We're starting to understand what is under the hood of that Coke bottle shaking. Okay. So this isn't about the behavior, and it's not about willpower. It's about their nervous system being taxed and figuring out why. And if it's that internal manager of their brain, the part of their brain that helps them do these multi-step tasks, stay focused, handle feedback, or get started, then they need to go back those steps on that learning ladder to learn those. Even if they're high level in a subject, we need to be able to bring that other part down so that they can eventually start getting the answers on paper, so that they can start doing the tests, doing the homework, in a way, like help their brain with the way that that part is struggling. Okay. That is one way that we can adjust that learning ladder. But if that child is struggling with this, we first need to support their nervous system, because they're probably, that Coke bottle is shaking so much for that child. And that's why we see so many outbursts. And so we need to first help support that nervous system and understand the learning ladder and bring them down to the ladder that they're at and give them as much support as they need at that learning ladder, at that step, while we're supporting their nervous system before they can start climbing up that ladder. Okay. So when we push, when we nag, when we say things like, just write something down, or you know how to do this, just start, stop being so dramatic, and that child is melting down, you might start looking at, is this the operating system? Is this the executive functioning of their brain? Because I know this child academically can do this, but they're struggling with this actual task. Is it that their nervous system is just shook so much and they need a break and they can go and do this later? Because that's one option to get them up on the ladder. But if even when they're regulated, even when they're in dolphin, when their brain is good, even when that Coke bottle is not shaking and it's ready to go and they can handle big problems and big picture thinking, but they can't do this task, then I would start looking at the task itself and break down that task into smaller steps and figure out where is it that that child is struggling. So each time that we're asking them to like leap four rungs on that ladder, when what they need for us is to meet them at the step that they're at and guide them up one step at a time as they're able. So first I would always check to see if once their nervous system is more regulated in their dolphin, can they do this task? And if they still can't do it, and that starts having them melting down and getting, shaking that Coke bottle again and making it explode, then I start diving into other things as to why is this child struggling on this step, on this learning ladder, on this task, what you're asking of them. So think of this like a house. If you're building a house, but you skip the foundation and you start with roof, or you start with, you know, building the walls before you have all of the, you know, foundation set. So you start getting water coming in, or, you know, the walls start like shaking, right? That's what happens when we are going too high up the learning ladder for any task that we're teaching a child. And when their nervous system is struggling, they will not be able to go high up the ladder if their nervous system is struggling. So think, if their nervous system is struggling, that's like water is seeping into your foundation of your house. And you need to get rid of that water first before you can start, you know, moving into that house, or like being, before you can do anything else in that house. So we have that nervous system piece, which is the water, but we also have the executive functioning that if they are struggling with pieces, there's also so many other stressors for those kids, but those other stressors are ones that tax that nervous system a little bit more. The solution is a little different than the executive functioning, which is why I always put the executive functioning last, is because we need all these other pieces in place first. Okay. So let's just reflect a little bit. Let's think of a moment when you expected your child to use a skill and they weren't able to. Did it feel confusing? Right? Like when you're sitting here and going, they know how to do this. What if we switch that and ask ourselves instead, where are they on the learning ladder today? How like explosive, how much has their Coke bottle been shaking today? How fizzy is that Coke? Is their Coke bottle about to explode, or did it explode? Was I expecting them to operate from a higher rung, from higher on that ladder, when their body is not able, when their nervous system is so taxed, or when their executive functioning system isn't even able to do those tasks at the moment, or remember the steps that you're telling them to do, or perceive and understand what you're asking of them to do? There is this invisible cost of misreading the ladder. You know what happens when we keep expecting our kids to operate from the top of the ladder. Oh, it chips away at their confidence. And chips away at yours too as a parent, right? When a child is told day after day, you just need to try harder, you're being dramatic, or you did this yesterday, why can't you do it today? Or all the other kids in your class can do this, why can't you? Or the teacher's saying you're being a behavior, like change that behavior and stop it, right? They start believing something's wrong with them. I think back to me. In growing up too, it's like I felt like a failure, and I felt like I was stupid in some of my classes. Meanwhile, academically, I was really smart, but I had to work so hard and mask. I masked how hard it was for me to do multiple choice questions. I would end up in tears often during tests because of how much it hurt my brain to do it, because that was the part of my executive functioning that was struggling. And I masked it until recently, and I'm 51. So I masked it for so much of my life, right? And I thought I was stupid and I thought I was dumb. And I see that with my child too now, where I'm not helping him step into his superpower of where his strengths are, but how that can also be a struggle for him sometimes. It's funny, I do it for my clients, but I struggle to do it for my own child at times, because you slip into this parent mode. It's really hard. And I know that times he doesn't feel he's good enough. And I know I need to work on that. And I'm working on it more right now. But when you're the parent that is saying these things to your kid, it doesn't feel good to you either. It leaves you second guessing yourself, leaves you frustrated, wondering, why aren't they listening? You know, why isn't this working? The truth is, your child is probably not disobeying you. Kids do not want to be bad kids. They don't want other kids to see them melting down. They don't want any of that. They may be at a rung in the ladder where the things you're asking of them are simply too high. And this is crazy. Like, with summer vacation coming up and all these things, I don't know when this is going out. This might be the end of summer vacation. But with summer, think back to your vacation where you're like, but this is a relaxing vacation, but it might be a new bed, changing new things. It might be different smells, different routines. All of these things are shaking that child's Coke bottle. It's simple things they would normally be able to do at home. They may not be able to do when you're on vacation. They may not be getting better sleeps, right? They're eating different foods. All of these things are different, that their Coke bottle is shaking so much that things that you, that they could do, the rung of the ladder that they might be on at home may not be where they're able to be on vacation. So if their stress bottle is more shaken today, if they're more tired, more anxious, more perfectionistic on one day versus another, or their internal manager, that executive functioning piece for them, just can't figure out how to get started, they're not choosing to fall apart. They're doing the best they can with where their brain is that day. And if we keep responding with correction instead of curiosity, we not only miss the opportunity to help, we unknowingly send the message that their struggle is a failure, when really it's just information. So what do we do instead? The first thing is you start by noticing. Am I asking too much from them, too high on the learning ladder today? Where might my child actually be today? You do not have to fix it in the moment. Actually, you can't. You cannot. When a child is melting down, when they're struggling, you cannot fix it in the moment. You do not have to teach anything right now, but you do have to look for clues that show you what rung they are actually standing on. So let's do this homework example from earlier. Your child sits down, suddenly falls apart over a math question. They completed similar work yesterday, but today they crumpled the paper. They are yelling, I don't get it. This is stupid. I'm not doing this. Instead of assuming they're being disrespectful, pause and ask yourself, where are they on the ladder? Maybe their sleep was off. Maybe they had a hard day. Maybe their stress bottle is more full. Where did their stress bottle shake today? What would knock them down a few rungs, or even where something simple that was simple for them yesterday is not for them today? And then you start thinking, where can I start lowering this ladder? Was I teaching them too high up if they're still clinging to the bottom? So what if they aren't yelling? What if this is like executive functioning? They aren't yelling. They're not upset. They just sit there stuck. They could still be stuck and all the time stuck. So this is more when this is on a regular basis. Think again, though. It might not be defiance. just because they can academically do these things doesn't mean that that internal manager is able to do it of their brain, that executive functioning piece. So instead of pushing the paragraph, you pause and say to yourself, what rung are they on? Like, if they're consistently not able to do this week after week after week, right? Do I need to take a step back and start supporting their executive functioning system in a different way? Where can we support this child? So I want to leave you with this from today. Your child isn't broken. They're not behind. They're not lazy. They're just not where society says they should be today. And your power as a parent comes from noticing that, not blaming yourself, not blaming the child. The very first step in this is awareness, to look at your child not as this problem to be solved, but as a learning ladder, and to ask, how can I meet them where they are, not where the world expects them to be? That's the work we do with my one-on-one clients. So we look at these real moments, these real behaviors, and figure out what ladder were they on and what support meets them there. It's not a script. It's not a formula, right? These are the steps that I've been talking about, but as you're seeing with these steps, we need to really individualize them for the child and for yourself. It's this deeper way of seeing so that you can support your child from the ground up. So when your child can't do the things you asked, even though they could do it yesterday, it's not always about behavior. And it's not a parenting failure either. It might just mean that they're on a different rung of the ladder today, because kids don't climb that ladder in a straight line. Nobody does. Stress, fatigue, bad sleep, perfectionism, fear can all be putting them down. And when we don't recognize that, we keep asking for things that they aren't ready to give. But once they see that ladder, once you know to stop and ask, where are they right now? Everything starts to shift. You stop reacting. You stop blaming yourself. And you start responding with support that actually fits. And this takes time. I'm going to let you know, this is not a quick thing. This is not an overnight thing. This is not like a right away week thing, right? You're not supposed to know how to do this all on your own. I had to learn this a lot. Eventually, I started taking courses and coaching and learning. I've also been coaching for 30 years. So a lot of these things I did know pieces of, but I didn't know all of the pieces. So I've had to really learn and study a lot and get help from others. So this is why, like, I offer one-on-one coaching support. So you can help figuring out where your child is on this ladder and how to meet them step by step with that support. So you'll find the link for working one-on-one with me. You book a call for 30 minutes and 25 minutes, I think it is. And we chat and figure out, you know, what's going on. Don't assume that your child is at the top of the ladder. Get curious about which rung on the ladder they're at and support them from the ground up. You've got this, and you don't have to do it alone. All right. I'm always here to support you. Links are in the show notes, and I'll see you in the next episode. Oh, also, please, if you do like this episode and subscribe to our channel. That's how the algorithms know to show this to more people, and also share this with a friend that may benefit from it. I would greatly appreciate it. I am a solo entrepreneur. I run this business on my own as I'm also homeschooling my kids. So any support from you is greatly appreciated. All right, I will see you in the next episode.